to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It's episode number 215, wherein we visit with Brandy Vega, who is from Good Deed Revolution. We'll talk all about that, but first I want to get to know you, so let's do that. Thank you for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I want to know, lifer, member of the church, or are you a convert?
You know, that's an interesting question.
Because everyone's a convert. Are we going to go deep here? You know,
well,
I've always been a member, but...
No, I kind of wasn't. My mom was a member. My dad was not a member. I got dragged back and forth between churches my whole life.
Okay.
Wasn't until I was a late teenager that I decided this is what I wanted. But I went to maybe 30 churches prior.
Oh, my gosh.
And even
because dad just wandered to a bunch of different churches?
You know, my dad was Assembly of God.
Okay.
And so I've been saved. I've been baptized. I've been everything. Any way you look at it, I'm good to go.
But just in case. I got my bases covered.
My brothers, I have two half-brothers. They're Jewish.
Okay.
And our family's just very mixed. My dad right now has no religion. I'd say he's not atheist, but he's...
Agnostic?
Agnostic.
Okay. Was that here in Utah?
No, I'm originally from Arizona.
Okay. So let's talk about that part of Arizona. I know when I think of Arizona, I think still it's kind of like Utah light as far as the Mormons go.
Not where I'm from. I'm from the White Mountains,
okay.
Springerville area. And then, you know, my family was dysfunctional. We're all dysfunctional in a way.
Sure.
But we moved around a lot. I lived in Texas. I lived in California, Oregon, Nevada.
Because of dad's work?
Dad's work and just overall dysfunction when my parents were together and weren't together and... just bouncing all over. He did construction.
Okay.
So we kind of moved all over. But I landed in Utah when I was about 16.
Okay. How come?
My mom moved up here.
Said, forget it, I'm out. Let's do Utah.
Yeah, let's do Utah. And it was fantastic because that was really good timing for me. Prior to that, I was in Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at 14, 15, if you're not doing drugs, drinking, having inappropriate relationships... you're the odd man out.
Right.
And I was starting to slip into that path.
Okay.
And luckily my family said, let's get you out of here. And we came here and got myself together, graduated high school early.
Army. Where are we talking about here?
West Jordan.
West Jordan. So Salt Lake Valley.
Yep. Graduated West Jordan High. I was class of 96, graduated in 95, joined the Army.
Okay.
As a broadcast journalist, public affairs specialist at just 17.
Okay.
Came back.
Talk about that a little bit, because I think that when people think of the Army, I was fascinated to find that there was even that position within the Army.
Yeah, I had no idea. So the military called me my senior year and said, what do you want to do with your life? My whole entire life from the time I was 10, I wanted to be a reporter.
Okay.
I said, I'm going to tell stories. I'm going to share news and information. That was my dream job. It's what I always wanted. I started it at West Jordan in the media program and print.
Like one of those high school, the print program. So the school newspaper?
Yeah. I did school newspaper and I did the media. I did the morning announcements. I started shooting and editing promotions. And
back on the old like VHS tapes and stuff like that, right? Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
So I started there and then actually the Marines called me and said, what are you going to do with your life? I told them, be a reporter. They said, we have that in the military. Do you want to meet with us? I was so naive at the time. I didn't grow up around military. I didn't know anyone in the military.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was all the military. I didn't know the different branches. Set up an appointment. Always kept my options open. Show up at the place. I drive around for 30 minutes lost. Go running in and say, hey, I'm sorry I'm late. I have an appointment with you. Well, the Army said, sit down. What's your name? And the Marines called me the next day. They weren't very happy. I ended up joining the Army about 6 weeks later. I had 5 tests. And if I would have been really lucky, I would have walked in the Air Force. But I landed in the Army.
What was that experience like being a woman in the Army?
$1 million experience I wouldn't give you 2 cents for.
Okay. Talk about it.
It was a challenge. Well, I ended up going through boot camp in 1996, Fort Jackson, South Carolina. And, you know, I didn't look like the other military women.
Which means?
Which means I was a minority.
Okay.
It means there were 2 white people in the whole division. Everyone else was African-American or Hispanic.
Okay.
So there was me and a girl from Alabama. And, you know, I had really long hair at the time. Obviously, I kept it pulled up. But it was the very first session of doing co-ed boot camp. It had never been done before. So they were mixing men and women for the first time ever through boot camp.
Great.
Which made it so much harder for me. Because in an effort to show that women didn't get it easier, they actually made it harder on us.
Sure.
And then being in South Carolina was like a foreign country to me. I couldn't understand anything that they were saying.
Yeah.
And I kept getting in trouble because I'd always ask the person next to me, what'd they say?
Yeah.
What'd the drill sergeant say? And then it'd be like, Brandy, drop! And I did... probably a million push-ups in that time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was awesome. I learned a ton. I had a great time. I got to throw grenades. I got to shoot machine guns. It was cool.
So they do the full military part of the Army for you doing the broadcasting, but then your actual assignment is not that at all.
No. So boot camp is broad. Every single person, no matter what your position is, goes through boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
So you could be a meteorologist. You could be a semi driver. You're going to go through the same boot camp. Then when you go to your advanced training, your AIT, I went to Fort Meade, Maryland, and I went to the Defense Information School, which is print and broadcast journalism and public affairs.
Cool.
And then what's cool about that is it's a big school in Maryland where all the branches come together.
Oh, nice.
So you have Air Force, Navy, Army, Coast Guard, and Marine Corps, and we all train together. Then once we finish our specialized training, which was super intense, I mean, you could not miss half a day or you got recycled.
Really?
You were learning so much. I had to learn how to do radio. I had to learn how to do television and public affairs, both every single position. Writing, talent, camera.
Because you don't know what you're going to do, right?
Is it? Well, I knew what I was going to do.
Okay.
I was specifically a broadcaster.
Okay.
46 Romeo and public affairs. So I knew my job, but they train you to be able to do everything. Mm-hmm. You have to be a one-man band.
Jeez.
And I had joined the Army Reserve, which meant as soon as I finished boot camp and my advanced training, I came back to Utah and I got hired on at Fox 13.
Okay.
At 18 years old, I was working as a studio tech. Ripping scripts, rolling tape, editing, running teleprompter.
Which is what you wanted, essentially, right?
Which is what I wanted to a degree. Of course, I wanted to be a reporter, but you got to get your foot in the door.
Sure.
So I started doing that. Then I moved on to Phoenix, got a job there as a chief editor.
And this is you making the choice at this point, right? This is not familial driven, right? This is you moving.
No, this is me. At this point, I'm on my own. I'm an adult and decided I wanted to go to Phoenix,
mm-hmm.
pursue a career there, got a great job offer as a satellite coordinator, ENG chief, editing. And then I would work 2 to 11. I'd go out overnights and report and field produce.
Oh my gosh.
Then I built my resume tape, sent it out, got 3 job offers, and I wound up in Rapid City, South Dakota.
Yeah.
Fox 7 News, KEVN, and I was the youngest reporter at 20 years old. Youngest
Jeez.
Reporter they ever had.
Jeez.
So it's cool.
In South Dakota.
South Dakota.
Mark it down, kids. The youngest reporter from South Dakota.
20 years old. I was on air there.
So finally had arrived. So then what brings you back to Utah then? There's obviously more of that story.
Well, and my family was here. And, you know, when you're only making, people have this idea that because you're on TV, you're making a lot of money.
Tons of money, right? Swimming in it?
Oh, man. Yeah, just boatloads. You know, I was living off ramen noodles and mac and cheese.
Yeah.
I mean, I was literally making about $8 an hour.
Mm.
And so I ended up going, okay, I'm struggling to survive here on my own and pay my bills. And I was away from family. I had this nightmare boss. I decided to come back to Utah. And I've been back here pretty much since. I mean, there's been moves in between and deployments.
Sure.
But Utah feels like home.
So you come back here and then you set up shop family-wise, right?
Mm-hmm.
And did you continue to do reporting and stuff here?
Yeah. So when I moved back, I actually took a job at the sheriff's office,
okay.
Salt Lake County at the time.
What's that like being a woman? That's because that's a male-driven thing too, right?
Everything I've ever done is in a male-dominant job.
Yeah.
I mean, right now I work for the LDS Church.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there 12 years.
Patriarchal society, that's for sure.
I've been there 12 years and there's not very many females around.
Okay.
Like the new chief of the department, she's a female and I love it because, you know, we bring a lot to the table. Sheriff's office, very male-dominated society.
Mm-hmm.
I have a thick skin. Army, male.
Mm-hmm.
TV, predominantly male.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see some girls on TV.
And if not predominantly male, certainly misogynistic. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Sadly.
So, no, came back here, worked sheriff's office, worked at the VA as a production specialist, audiovisual specialist. And then I got deployed.
Okay.
Overseas. I went to the Balkans, to Kosovo and Macedonia, Serbia.
And is that during the conflict that was over there or was that afterwards?
Yeah, that was in 2001.
Okay.
And I was there for the September 11th terrorist attacks.
Mm.
And our base, I mean, we went on lockdown. I almost got shot down twice by terrorists.
Oh my gosh.
Got attacked by guerrilla warfare. I mean, it was supposed to be a peacekeeping mission.
Doesn't sound like it.
It was like don't get killed mission.
Yeah, it was a be careful mission.
It was. And after that, I was actually planning to pursue my television career again.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at a job in New York, but then something happened. I met a boy and ended up getting married at the time and having a baby and kind of derailed everything. So
derailed or enabled, depending on how...
Depends on how you look at it.
But then came back here to Utah.
Yeah.
And what is it like working for the church? I mean, you said kind of... I made the joke patriarchal society. You said male dominant. What is that experience like?
I absolutely love working for the church. It's one of the greatest blessings I've ever been given. And I know a lot of people have tried to get on there. I work in the audiovisual department. I do broadcasting, mainly camera work.
Like music and the spoken word, that kind of stuff?
I do music and the spoken word. I do general conference. I do mission president's training.
Okay.
I do almost everything. So you see the Christmas concert, work in that.
Okay.
I run on one of the cameras. This is my 12th year. And I actually got hired at Elder Maxwell's funeral. So when I moved back, so I got married, moved to Tennessee, to Fort Campbell, well, Kentucky, Fort Campbell, Kentucky, 101st. Had my daughter, and then her dad got deployed, and he was kind of abusive, and things didn't work out. Mm-hmm. So I moved back here, and I went to work at Channel 4.
Okay.
Started working at ABC as a morning multimedia journalist. I was shooting, I was editing, I was reporting when they needed, kind of doing everything. Mm-hmm. I was covering Elder Maxwell's funeral, and it's actually kind of a funny story.
Okay.
But they sent me there, and I was covering...
It's a funny funeral story. Everyone get ready. Here we go with a funny funeral story.
So they had me change. I went and I put on a black suit, and unfortunately, I picked one that zipped up in the back.
Okay.
One of those back zippers things. And I'm familiar. I'm doing everything on my own, so I'm hauling all the gear. I'm setting it up. It's kind of a windy day. I'm up on a platform. I'm probably the only girl up there,
sure.
Maybe 20, 30 guys. Next thing I know, about halfway through, I feel a breeze.
Uh-oh.
Not a good breeze.
Oh, no.
Not in a good place. And I reach back, and I feel that my zipper in the back of my pants is totally unzipped.
Oh, no.
And I have no idea how long it was unzipped. But the funny thing was, shortly after that, I got offered a position for freelance.
Yeah, there you go.
With the church.
Whatever it takes.
So I had applied multiple times, but I showed up at the funeral, and I think Heavenly Father just kind of threw me a funny little blessing, and it worked out, and I've been there for 12 years. So people say, how'd you get your job at the church? I said, I jokingly say, you know, you just have to show a little skin and get a job.
Well, you never know. I mean, you never know how
that.
It goes.
It was just a joke. I'm not saying that's why I got the job. I love it. I've had many, many fantastic experiences.
Did you get someone to help you?
I was able to get it.
Okay.
I was able to get it, but I was really embarrassed.
Yeah, because I would think that would be like a thing that if you hadn't been able to do it before, it'd be like, listen, I know this is a funeral, everybody, but I need a little help back here. Can you?
It's funny because 10 years later, I was doing the Latino concert at the church, and I had to run for a super quick bathroom break, and I made that horrible mistake that some women make when you're in a hurry. Well, I washed my hands. It's not that.
Okay.
But I accidentally tucked my skirt up in my nylons, and I came running out, and it was tucked in, and some of the guys said, Brandy?
We're not looking. I want you to know I'm not looking, but I'm noticing, but I'm not looking.
I said, it's my 10-year anniversary. I'm trying to keep my job.
I'm going for tenure now. That's a pretty funny experience. Let me ask you this about working for the church. I've talked to some people who said that it can be a challenging thing for your testimony working for the church. Have you experienced any of that?
You know, so when I first started, and I've come from a very diverse background, right? Religiously, spiritually, work-wise, military, TV. The first people I met with said, hey, here's something you need to know. The church is true. The corporation's a corporation, and just like any business, there might be issues.
Right.
You need to be aware of that and not associate the two. That was good advice, because I've seen that at a time where, you know, people are just people at the end of the day, and sometimes you're going to have individuals that you work with, regardless of religion or where you're employed, that maybe aren't living or doing things that you agree with.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I would say no. Overall, it's been the biggest spiritual boost and builder and faith-affirming position in my entire life. Like, I know that Heavenly Father wanted me to be there. I know that I'm there for a reason, because I've had some significant challenges over the last decade. And if I hadn't had some of the immense experiences there at the church, working specifically with the brethren, my testimony may have wavered. But it built me up, and I can never deny it. I'm a lifelong member, love the gospel, love the church, feel super thankful for the opportunity I have to work there and be fulfilled.
You willing to talk about some of those challenges?
Sure.
All right, let's take a break for a second. We'll come back, and we'll talk about those. And also, we'll get to the Good Deed Revolution. Don't you worry.
Okay, good
That's
deeds.
Coming up. Good deeds, I'm sorry. That's coming up here in the second and third block of the Cultural Hall.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Time for the second block of the Cultural Hall, talking with Brandy Vega. And it is Good Deed Revolution. She corrected me only for me to correct myself, only to not be corrected. It is Good Deed Revolution. But we'll talk about that in a minute. You said struggles over the last decade.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. What are we talking about?
Well, I think everybody goes through struggles, right?
I hope so, right? Otherwise, we feel pretty lonely. It's like, is anybody else experiencing this? No one? Great.
I found out I'm not the only one. I was a single mom. I've got two daughters. I have a 14-year-old and I have a 9-year-old. Single mom.
So that alone within the church, difficult to say the least?
It's difficult. It's difficult to be a single parent, whether you're the mom or the dad. Just doing it is... What's hard about it,
do you think?
Well, I was just talking to one of my friends who just got his son full-time. Just getting him off to school and getting home while you're juggling a job and you don't have a lot of family or friends around. I'm a Utah orphan now. I have no family here. All my family's in Arizona. So for me, I have to figure things out. Things like, oh, my car's in the shop and broke down. How am I going to get home? Mm-hmm. I don't have somebody to come and pick me up. My daughter got injured. She almost cut her thumb off last week. Ugh. And I'm trying to rush there and get there and juggle everything. It's just, it's a challenge. Being a family is hard enough at times, but when you're doing it alone, and there's a lot of people doing that. Well, then... I thought I met Mr. Wonderful, fell madly in love with the guy and got married, thought I had figured everything out. And after 11 months...
I'm going to guess how this ends. Not well.
Not well. No, I got a phone call from the woman's husband he was having an affair with.
Oh, geez.
So we were only married 11 months and found out that he had been having an affair for 5 of those months. Mm. And this was over 2 years ago. I was completely devastated. I mean, I was heartbroken. I'd never been in love like that. Mm-hmm. I finally felt happy and secure. And then you have everything that you believed and trusted just ripped out from under you. And it was excruciating, so painful that I didn't know how I was going to get through it. I remember laying in bed just going, I can't even breathe. How do I do this? I'm a failure. I'm such a failure. I'm already divorced. Mm. Now I just did it again. And I trusted somebody. Is my meter off? What's going on? But that experience brought me to where I am today, which is the best place I've ever been in my life. But it took a long time. I mean, it was probably 3 or 4 months after I had found out about this affair and we'd split up. And I was in my car just having a breakdown, just sitting in my car bawling.
You know, like you do.
Yeah, just like, oh, I've seen you guys in your car crying.
Yeah.
We all do it.
Listen, I've done it.
Right?
I'm not too proud. I've done it.
Sometimes you can't help it. Sometimes you can drive through the tears. Sometimes you can't. And I'm in my car, and I think I was sitting out in front of a Cafe Rio.
Right? Of course.
I'm bawling my eyes out, and I just started praying, Heavenly Father, what do I do? How do I do this? And all of a sudden, I heard this voice say, do you trust me? And I thought, well, yeah, I think so. I hope I do. Well,
yeah.
I don't know.
What
does
well,
that
I
really
want
mean?
To. What are we asking here? Because I did before.
I thought I did. Why are you asking me this? And I started researching it. I spent a few days just diving in, reading everything I could read, looking it up, researching, watching videos. And finally, I found this talk from Elder Richard G. Scott, 1984, called Trusting in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it was like that talk was put together for me. I watched it and I cried and I had this... awakening that I didn't trust in Heavenly Father. I never had fully because what it meant is you have to submit. You have to submit your will. And for me, submit is this horrible word that means failure.
You don't want to be submissive. Yeah, giving in. Yep.
Well, isn't it in wrestling if you submit, you lose?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he submitted. He lost. He tapped out. I've never been like that. I've had to work way too hard in my life to get to where I am. And so the word submit was not in my vocabulary until about a year and a half ago. When I studied that and I finally discovered, okay, submitting to the Lord means trusting in him 100% and saying, your way is better than my way, and I might not know it. And at that particular point in time, I said, okay, I will submit. I will trust in the Lord. I will give everything over to him. It's not what I want, because what I want had fallen apart. I wasn't getting it. It wasn't coming back. And I just said, I'll move forward in faith. I'll live the best life I can live. I'll be the person that I promised you I would be to the best of my ability. Mm-hmm. And I just started living like that. And it's changed everything. It's changed everything.
How?
Well, because I decided to go do things, to become the person I wanted to become, to pursue things, not to put it off, but to just move forward. So I launched, for instance, GoodDeedRevolution.org. Mm-hmm. I've been funding this. I put $50,000 of my own money in it. I don't know the end of the road, but I know that this is a path I'm supposed to take. Where before I would be scared to do things, I would just think, well, I don't see the end of this. I can't make sense of it. Mm-hmm. But now I just trust that Heavenly Father will do it. That doesn't mean we sit there blindly and say, I trust you, do the work. Mm-hmm. It means, okay, if you're telling me to do something and I feel that it's right and good about it, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to trust that however it works out is the way it's designed. And that's what I've been doing. I became a spiritual care volunteer at the hospital.
What is that?
It's kind of like a chaplain.
Okay.
There's only one part-time chaplain at IHC.
Okay.
At the big one.
Which is a big hospital group here in Utah.
Yeah. And so I became a spiritual care volunteer. I go and I sit with patients who are dying and have no family. They have a policy, nobody dies alone. So I sit with them and I hold their hand and I talk to them.
Oh my gosh, that's got to be hard.
It's way hard. And then I go deal with critical care and end of life and all these things. People who are dealing with traumatic injuries and illness and turning off life support and donating organs or deciding to fight. And I do this and it's so given me this amazing perspective and it's taught me how to prioritize. I don't get mad at the people that cut me off in traffic because I think maybe they just shut off life support for their loved one and they're distracted. I don't anger with my children because I feel lucky to have them because I just sat with a mom who just watched her kid suffer and die.
Yeah.
I've just decided to be the best version of me, to be Christ-like. Somebody asked me, describe yourself in one word. And I thought, oh, is it driven? Is it determined?
Right.
Is it? And then I thought, no, it's Christ-like. That's who I want to be. Because as I look at some of these patients who are dying, or as I go do the Good Deed Revolution, and I'm dealing with these homeless people or people with cancer or whatever situation they're in, I think that could be me.
Yeah.
That could be me at any second. And am I ready to meet my maker? And I can look you in the eye right now and honestly tell you 100%. If I go tonight when I leave here, I'm at peace.
You're good to go?
I feel totally confident with who I am, with what I've done, with my purpose is to leave this place better than I found it, to love and lift those around me, to build them up, and to just be Heavenly Father's hands on the earth, and sometimes His voice and sometimes His heart. And I'm doing it every day. It's my dream. And I'm at a new place where I don't sweat the small things. It's all about an eternal perspective. And that all changed when I learned to trust in Heavenly Father and do His work.
Let's talk specifically about Good Deed Revolution. It's gooddeedrevolution.org. So what is that? Besides $50,000 of your own money, for crying out loud.
Yeah. It's been hard. You know, as a single mom, I'm a freelancer. That's what I do full time. I freelance. I do video and contract work. So I have sunk my heart, soul, and savings into this company. And what it is, it's a nonprofit charitable organization. We go out and we do random acts of kindness, good deeds, and pay it forward for people in need. But then we do it on video because that's my background. My background is broadcasting. And I thought, I did an event, a broadcast with Elder Bednar about a year and a half ago called Using Social Media for Good.
And that was the talk that was down in
Provo,
right?
At the Marriott Center.
Flood the Earth, right?
Yeah. It was a big event, and they broadcast it out, and they said, you know what? We have in the palms of our hands smartphones, all these devices. We have the opportunity to reach the ends of the earth and flood it with good, with Christ's message, with messages of hope, and we see all that with the Mormon messages and the channels and things. So he was talking he came over. He actually took us to ice cream after. But he was talking to
me. No big deal.
Elder Bednar bought me ice cream.
Yeah. It was a tender mercy. Yeah. No big deal.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm sorry. Don't be jealous.
No.
Hashtag doobie.
Yeah.
But anyhow.
And that would be do be jealous, not doobie.
Exactly. I thought about that after I said it. So Elder Bednar said, what are you using your talents for? And I thought to myself, okay, I've been in broadcasting since I was 17 years old, actually before that, but professionally since 17. And I've done gun shows. I've done home shows. I've done car shows. I've done medical shows. But I never did anything that mattered like that way. And I was doing all this social media and doing videos and cool stuff. But it was nothing that inspired or changed lives. It was just entertaining. But my passion's always been humanitarian work and volunteering. I've done that as long as I can remember, funding humanitarian missions, helping the homeless, just looking out for people as much as I could. Well, after that talk, I was so inspired. I know it was divinely inspired. Heavenly Father said, Brandy, ding, 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 this is your calling.
Here we go.
Good Deed Revolution. Combine your passions of broadcast journalism and humanitarian volunteer work and share it with the world. I have the opportunity with everything I'm doing to reach people. And I hear of my friends and others. I mean, working in news, television, it's always the negative side.
Sure.
They would say, if it bleeds, it leads. And that's true. You see the negative side. But then there's all these people who go around doing kindness and good deeds, but they don't get focused. And nobody wants to go, hey, everybody, look at me. I'm awesome. I just totally helped this guy or this girl.
It seems odd to kind of flaunt your own goodness.
But at the same time, that's kind of an opportunity lost because every time we do something like that, as the giver or the receiver, we have an opportunity to inspire kindness in others. I've done videos where I took my daughters out and we gave coats to the homeless, or we went and brought them burritos. And then we post it online and people say, I was so afraid to approach them until I saw how you did it. I'm taking my kids this week and I'm excited. Being able to validate what others are doing as a third party resource allows them to share the goodness and inspire others. Our whole mission, my mission, is to uplift, inspire, and motivate others to action. I want people to see what we're doing and go out and do it, because the value isn't in just helping that one person. You know, there was a guy here who was homeless. He came to a Care Cuts event that is a nonprofit my friends do, and they changed his life. Like, they helped him get on his feet. They got him an apartment. They got him a job. I mean, they turned everything around, and that was awesome. But if you're not Juan, you don't see the whole story. So what we do is we come in and we document that, and then it goes out and it gets shared and it goes viral. And then everyone else that sees it goes, wow, I can do a little something. Because the truth of the matter is every single one of us can do something.
Sure.
If we want to, whether it's smiling at somebody, holding the door, inquiring how they're doing, sending a text, buying them lunch, building them a house, going to Africa. I mean, big or small, as long as you have desire, you can do something that matters and changes lives. And so now we share those stories. It's fantastic.
Give me an idea. What was the first one you ever did?
Okay, the very first story. I love this one. His name's Travis Peterson. He's a firefighter. He's 35 years old.
Okay.
He's dying of lung cancer.
Ugh, okay.
Yep, he's married. He has a 10-year-old daughter, an LDS guy. Not that it matters.
Not that it matters, but to give context.
You know, this is our audience, right? So anyway, Travis has terminal lung cancer, and his friends approached me, and he doesn't have much time to live. They said, he's the hugest Top Gun fan on the planet. Can you help him? I said, well, what does he want? Well, he wants to fly in a fighter jet and meet Tom Cruise. Okay, well, hey, Elder Bednar told me social media, we can reach all ends of the earth. Why not?
Yeah.
We launched the website in January.
January of 2016?
Yeah.
Okay.
We launched and we put up that story with Travis. Within 24 hours, Tom Cruise's agent contacted me from Europe, said, we saw your story. We want to help. And we were able to put out a GoFundMe and we raised enough money to get him up in a fighter jet.
Jeez.
Within a day. Only 500 hits on the video, but it was the right person. And when you're doing good things, sometimes things line up, and that's what I'm kind of hoping and praying for when it comes to funding this and making it continue to happen. But that was one of our first stories. We were able to help him, and unfortunately he's not doing so well. I'm gonna go follow up with him, but that was a fun one. Then we met Glenda. Glenda had literally just buried her husband the day that we showed up at her house.
Oh my gosh.
Her daughter-in-law contacted me and said, my mother-in-law's freezing to death inside of her home. She does not have a furnace, and they're out of wood for her wood-burning stove. She's been taking care of my dad, who just passed away. She's already buried three of her five children. They're in a low economic area. Mm-hmm. She works for minimum wage as a bus driving assistant. We showed up right after the funeral, and I said, Glenda, I heard you needed some firewood. And I don't want to cry. But
you can cry?
She teared up, and she looked at me, and it was like she had won the lottery for a load of firewood. You know, and you just think to yourself, I go home to my house, I turn on my heater, I put on a blanket, I don't think about this stuff. She had just buried her husband. She's on her own, the love of her life, and now the firewood changed her life. Mm-hmm. She started bawling, she hugged me, that story is on our website. And we were able to end up getting her a furnace. We were able to get her house remodeled and help her out a lot. Mm. We helped Ivy, a bullied teenager. Her parents abandoned her when she was 8 years old. They said, we can't be parents. We don't want anything to do with them.
Oh, my gosh.
And so she got dropped off at her grandmother's doorstep. Grandma's a single grandma. She works a pretty low-paying job, but she works really hard. And they have a decent quality of life, but they can't afford anything excessive. Mm-hmm. Well, sorry.
You're
this
fine?
Little girl, 13 years old now, she's bullied at school because her teeth are messed up. And because she's abandoned and, you know, she has security issues.
Sure.
We surprised her with braces.
Hmm.
And when you can give a little girl something to smile about who hasn't had much to smile about, that changes everything. I know as a little girl myself, I was 13 years old. I had really bad teeth. I was so embarrassed by them. And my parents couldn't afford it. They couldn't afford to fix my teeth, and I never wanted to smile, and I was humiliated. I would keep my mouth shut. My confidence was really low, and I went and I got a job at 13. I was cleaning motels. I was working at a laundromat, and I saved up enough money to buy my own braces, and I was able to get my teeth fixed, and that changed so much for me. I would have never gotten into TV if I couldn't smile, if I felt insecure to talk to people, so I know how Ivy felt. Because I dealt with the bullying, too. And this was so close to my heart. We were able to get her a smile. And one of the really cool things we're doing right now with how wonderful that went, mm-hmm. we've had another orthodontist step on board, Dr. Douglas Anderson here in Utah, and say, you know what? We want to do that for somebody. So we have a contest on our website right now and on our Facebook, if you go to Good Deed Revolution, where you can nominate somebody for braces, young or old. Just share their story with us, and we're going to be picking one person to give a smile makeover to. And we're looking for other individuals in the community. We have a doctor who's going to be donating some plastic surgery.
Cool.
And we're not just talking about, you know, vein enhancements, but we're talking about disfigurements. Mm-hmm. Maybe a kid whose ears are messed up. Things that will change lives.
Sure.
And matter and make a difference. I had two elderly veterans that came up from Nevada for cancer treatment at the VA. 83 years old. He was going through cancer treatment, all these other treatments. They borrowed a car to get down here in the snow, a truck.
Mm-hmm.
That truck broke down. Mm-hmm. And they're stranded in the snow, father and son, both veterans, both medically in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a post online that said, does anybody have a covered carport we can work on our car? The son, the 60-year-old's a mechanic. But they're in a foot of snow in the slush, freezing to death. Jeez. Trying to fix this car. They don't have money for a hotel. Because they weren't over at the VA anymore. They couldn't stay at their provided facility or get the food. And I was able to get them over to my house. I saw that, and I'm a veteran. Mm-hmm. And from one veteran to another, I thought, I can't let these guys suffer.
Right.
And so I put them up in my house for 4 days. I ended up calling in a favor with Burt Brothers in Farmington, Utah. They pitched in. We got these guys their truck fixed. We got them food. And now we're lifelong friends, and we got them on our way. So there's so many stories. We're not niche.
Right.
That we can pick and choose however we can help to do good.
It sounds like the majority of these things are people who come to you now at this point where they go, hey, you know what? I know about this thing that's going on. Is that the way that it works?
Partially. So one of the things that happens is once you start doing good for people, the word gets out a little bit, mm-hmm. and then people contact you. But people have found us online. I've done some media, but there's not really a budget to advertise.
Sure.
I have people that are working to keep the website up and the stories going. What's awesome about gooddeedrevolution.org is we've created a place, a classified section where people can now go and post needs and deeds and events. So if you are in need, go to our website and post it. If you want to do good and give back, go to our website. And it's not just a Utah thing. This is national, international. We're building geographically to reach all ends of the earth.
That's awesome.
And so we want to do events. We're looking for volunteers. We're looking for partners, because currently there's not a place where you can do that. My mom's had 6 back surgeries. She's in Arizona. I feel helpless sometimes because I can't get there to help her. My stepdad had a stroke. So they're kind of two people that can't do a lot. And I know that if I could ask somebody to go do their yard work, that would be a great opportunity for someone to serve and for them to be blessed.
Right.
We're providing that. We just have to get the message out there so people know where they can go to find that help.
So that's people that are both in need and also willing to help out, and they can go to gooddeedrevolution.org. Let's take another break, and when we come back, we'll kind of wrap this thing out, and we'll ask you the same 3 questions we ask everyone that steps here into the Cultural Hall. We'll do that here in the third block.
Hi, this is Dan, the Laptop Man from PC Laptops in Salt Lake City. A lot of people ask me if a gaming console or a gaming PC is better. Gaming consoles do one thing. They play games and usually come with a 1-year warranty. A desktop or laptop computer from PC Laptops plays games and allows you to learn real career skills like Photoshop, video production, and business skills so you can make a living with technology. Technology that makes you money. Amazing. PC Laptops desktop computers start from only $799, hand-built right here in Utah with a lifetime parts and labor warranty. You simply can't find anything like this backed by an amazing lifetime warranty anywhere. It's downright impossible. Please visit any one of our locations right now or call us at 1-877-596-SAVE or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. Desktop computers covered forever with a lifetime warranty starting at $799. Because at PC Laptops, we love you.
Time for the third and final block of the Cultural Hall here with Brandy Vega from GoodDeedRevolution.org. So what's the future then? You're going to take over the world and solve everybody's problems?
Absolutely.
What's the plan though, really?
So the plan is to hopefully get a little bit of funding. You know, we are brand new, so we're hoping to find the right people and partners that say, hey, we believe in what you're doing. We want to be a part of that. We want to find sponsors in our communities. But this isn't, again, right now we're in Utah and Arizona.
Because that's where you're at.
Because that's where I'm based, and this is kind of our reach. But we want to expand nationwide. We want to start having chapters and sending video teams to go do this in different areas. Pretty soon we want to be able to go global. Our goal is to do as much good as possible, to inspire as many people as we can, and to make the world a better place through kindness. Because I know that we're already doing it. And I look back at what we've done so far in this short amount of time. I mean, we've been going for 5 months.
Yeah, because you said January 2016. That's literally no time.
Yeah, in the last 5 months, we have helped hundreds of people. And, you know, when you talk about, like, scripture-based, is if you've done it to one person or you've done it to me, and I look at that and I think, worst-case scenario, if all of this fell apart, I'm so happy with what we've been able to accomplish, because we never know what that one person who we helped will be able to do.
Right.
But that is just not what I want. And I know that's not what Heavenly Father wants for Good Deed Revolution. So our goal is to just expand, to grow, to start getting lots of hits, to have these videos go viral, to help as many people as we possibly can, to team up with the right people and build this out. I can see us being as big as Make-A-Wish and Red Cross and some of these massive charities that have tons of money. And the cool thing is, again, what we're doing is we're able to help so many people, not just veterans, not just disabled, not just elderly, or, you know, you name it. We're not a niche. So we're able to help as many people as we can in as many ways as possible. And the coolest thing about it is there's no other nonprofit that I'm aware of that's doing what we're doing.
Right.
Because we're able to share these videos, and that's where you get the intrinsic value.
It's interesting. We've talked about it a bunch here in the Cultural Hall, actually, about, you know, the LDS Church's Helping Hands does a tremendous amount, but we don't really hear a whole lot about it. It seems like always the local newspapers will be like, the LDS Church's Helping Hands did that, but you don't really see it. You know that we do it, and you know in these communities, whenever there's something that happens, you know that the church, whatever, you know, to whatever capacity, is there and helping out. But there really is that missing element of, hey, not only do you know that we're doing it, but now you're able to see it. And I think that that has value.
You can see it. You can see it. And what that does is it inspires the people that see it, but also the employees. Mm-hmm. Like, we're working with some groups and we're saying, okay, get all of your employees involved. Then they share it and then they feel good about it. When you're doing good works and good deeds and acts of kindness, as a company, it builds morale. People live 20% longer. They're 80% happier. They're a lot more loyal to your business. Mm-hmm. But the LDS Church, for example, I've been with them for 12 years, and I talked to them. I was actually working on a pilot TV show about 5 years ago called The Mormon Factor.
Okay.
It was like News Magazine, and we would feature all this stuff because they go out and they shoot it, and it's fantastic, but they don't want to boast or brag
right.
or be like, oh, we're awesome. Look at all the good work we're doing. And there's really not a lot of other people out there wanting to follow that.
Right.
We want to share. If we're not doing the good deeds or the random acts of kindness, we are looking for individuals or companies that are, because our main goal is just to feature that, to feature the good stuff that's being done so that other people see it and go, I want to get involved. My company could do that. I could do that. And volunteers, I mean, whatever it is you want to do. If you've got plenty of money and no time, you're a Wall Street executive, mm-hmm. mail us a check.
Yeah.
We'll do the good deed and you'll see it and you can share that video and say, you know what, I contributed to that. I helped those veterans. I helped this disabled kid get his wheelchair. We had a veteran just a few days ago who is completely disabled, Vietnam vet, can't leave his care center, makes $733 a month. His rent is $600. He has no money. And his family member died out of state, and he had no way of being there, and he wanted to be there so bad. So we got our friends at Mac Warehouse to donate a laptop. We streamed the funeral for him live so that he was able to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant so much to him. So again, if you have no time but money, you can donate and you can see everything we're doing so that you can feel really good about it. If you have plenty of time, no money, come and volunteer with us. We're setting up events. We're looking for people to help. We haven't done a really good job yet of scheduling big events for volunteers,
mm-hmm.
but I'm working on that. So if you've got something, or if we need to do a neighborhood cleanup, if we need to redo somebody's house, whatever it is, let us know. We can see if we can help. In fact, we're going this weekend to Provo. This lady just lost her husband to cancer, and she needs yard work done. She
right.
wants a garden. So we're taking a whole team. We're going to be planting plants, doing yard work, planting a garden for her, just trying to bring her a little bit of hope during this really difficult time in her life. So the opportunities are unlimited to get involved, and I think our reach will be so broad, but I can't do it alone.
Right.
I can't do it alone. I need people to not just listen and not just talk about doing good, but I need you to actually do it.
Right.
A lot of us think about it.
Or have the inclination to do good.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to do good.
I want to do
something.
Good. They talk about it, but then they don't end up doing anything. And just, you know, $5 or $10 from somebody, if a lot of people are doing that, it makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
If 5 or 10 people show up at an event, it makes a huge difference. It was really cool this weekend. So last week, this other nonprofit contacts me, and I want to collaborate with nonprofits. I'm not in competition with anyone. I'm
sure.
here to build the greater good. So let's team up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's lift each other. But this other nonprofit contacted me and said, we did a humanitarian trip to South America. We've got extra toothbrushes and toothpaste and some kits. Do you want them?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, I can barely get in my garage right now. Where am I going to put this stuff? I don't have a storage unit. And I thought for a minute, my brain said, no, what are you going to do with this stuff? And then the Spirit told me, Brandy, take it.
Mm-hmm.
You will find a need for it. And so I listened to it. I said, you know what? Yeah.
Yeah, you bet.
I said, I'll take it. I feel like I should take it. I don't know what I'm going to do with them right now.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, well, there's a lot. I'll show up and I'll give them to you. And we loaded up my car with probably at least 1,000+ toothbrushes,
oh
toothpaste. That was on a Monday. On Wednesday, my friend posted online. She said, I'm in desperate need of toothbrushes and toothpaste. I'm headed to Africa in a few days, and they've asked me if I could bring these. Does anybody have it?
Yeah.
And I teach Sunday school. I teach 15 and 16 year olds. And our lesson this week was on never postpone a prompting. And I thought to myself, this was the coolest thing, because on Monday, Heavenly Father prompted me, you take those toothbrushes and toothpaste. And on Wednesday, I found the purpose for it. And when I delivered those to her, she started to cry. And now tomorrow they leave for Africa and they're going to be able to bless all these other lives. And it's just so cool how it works. When we listen to the Spirit, when we listen to the promptings, and when we get involved and do something. Because I promise you, what you'll discover, when I was down and out, when I was going through my super painful divorce, I found purpose in service. it was almost selfish, because when I went there and I looked out for other people and I served them, mm-hmm. my own pain started to minimize, and I felt so much joy and I felt so much goodness and a reward that I wanted to do it more and more and more. And now that I'm out there doing this, it's fantastic, because I don't feel sorry for myself. I don't think about the things I don't have. Mm-hmm. I have gratitude because I see the other side. And when you serve, you just are honestly so much happier.
Let me ask you this, and then we'll get to those three questions. Is there a thing, however big this may be, that you're like, you know, one day I want to get to the point where I can do this thing? Do you have like a pie in the sky project?
One day I would like to get to the point where I can pay myself. my pie in the sky, that's a good question. I guess, honestly, I haven't thought about it wholly, okay. But I keep thinking, gosh, if I could get on Ellen, Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, if I could get some of these LDS celebrities, whoever has a big following, to mm-hmm. get involved in what we're doing, that would just be the pinnacle. Mm-hmm. All I want to do is do good, and I just want to help people. And if I could look at this and go, my goodness, we helped 1,000 people this week, mm-hmm. I would just be completely happy. There's no other thing that I'm looking for. It's not about fame or fortune. It's about spreading kindness everywhere I go and leaving the world better than it was when I got here. I just want to, I feel like we all have a purpose. I knew from the time I was 10 years old that my calling was broadcasting. Mm-hmm. I always loved humanitarian work. And I think before I came down here, what did I promise? What did I say or accept? Hey, I'm going to go down there. I'm going to do TV, and then I'm going to turn it, and I'm going to spread the gospel or kindness and help people. I kind of feel like that's what I've done. And, you know, I've asked, like, what is my purpose? What's my calling? This feels like it. Hmm. And if I can kind of invite people into this mission of mine, that's not really mine, because I feel like it's divine.
Yeah.
That's my purpose. That's my calling, is just to make people feel what I feel and let other people know who are struggling that it's okay. And one of the things I didn't share with you is, I struggled with depression as a teenager and attempted suicide at 12. Hmm. And I look back at the past and I see people going through things, and I feel like Heavenly Father's prepared me with a lot of challenges in my life. Suicide, relationships, all sorts of things, to where now I can relate. I can communicate with other people and let them know that, hey, you're not alone, mm-hmm. that you're loved, that you're worth it. We did a Mother's Day thing, and we surprised 50 random moms in the mall. We gave them a flower. We gave them a poem that I wrote. And we gave them a bracelet that says, you matter. Because there's a lot of campaigns out there about this life matters and that life matters.
Right.
Guess what? We all matter.
Yeah.
Every single one of us, no matter how down and out we feel, no matter how unimportant we feel, your life matters, and you were put here for a purpose. And if we can let that person know at that moment that they do matter, that's a big deal.
Yeah. All right. We're to the three questions. Are you ready for this?
I think so.
First question is do you have a calling now currently? And if so, what is it?
Oh, I just shared that. I am a Sunday school teacher. I teach the 15 and 16 year olds.
If you could pick a calling for yourself, either one that exists or make one up, what would you pick?
Mission President's wife.
Okay.
I'm taking applications for the mission president.
Which mission? Is there a particular mission that you would want to serve in?
Oh, shoot. I don't know. No, wherever Heavenly Father wants me to go. I'm totally open. I turned that all over. Remember that whole submit thing?
Yeah.
So I just need to find the right guy.
Right, to get you there.
For that. Yeah, so I'm looking for somebody who will eventually be a mission president.
Okay.
And yeah,
blondes, brunettes, what are we? Throw it out there.
You know.
Doesn't matter?
It doesn't matter. We all come in different shapes and sizes and looks, and I don't discriminate. Somebody with a great heart and a good attitude is good with me. But yeah, that's what I want to do. I got to work on the Mission President's training last year. I spent 5-6 days at BYU with the Mission Presidents and their wives, mm-hmm. and the general authorities. And just being in that training, I was so overwhelmed that that's what I wanted to do. So,
cool.
So my goal is, yeah, maybe once I get Good Deed Revolution really off the ground and running and fully functional, you know, maybe things work out and I'm able to meet somebody and eventually serve a mission and go do more good.
Cool. Somewhere. The final question may be a little bit more difficult than the first two. Maybe not. But what is your favorite part of your faith?
My favorite part, okay, this is actually pretty easy for me to answer right now. My favorite part is listening to the promptings, listening to the spirit and feeling it. This was, I think as human beings, we have the opportunity to, we get impressions or we get feelings and we get promptings and we just blow them off like, oh, that's my own thought. Oh, this is ridiculous. Again, in the last 2 years going through the refiner's fire, I have discovered to listen to those. I'm so tuned in that it's fantastic. And I know that things don't just happen randomly. But there's purpose in this. There's purpose in pain. There's purpose in our daily lives events. And sometimes things that we think are trivial. I'll share one last quick story.
Okay.
I was doing an event for the church, running camera. It was actually a mission president's training seminar. And we got done early, and we had just gotten a puppy. The puppy kept ripping everything up. So I decided to stop by a store on my way home that I don't normally stop by. But I felt like, stop here. And I did. And I go in the store, and I'm getting a cart. And the lady there is taking forever, and I'm starting to get slightly annoyed. Like, all right, move so I can get my cart. And then another lady walked in, and I heard their conversation. And the older lady sounded very sick. I could tell as soon as she opened her mouth that she was not well. And she said to the girl, oh, hey, what are you doing here? And the girl said, I need to get some food. I haven't eaten in 2 days. And I got my cart and I started to walk off. And the spirit said, stop, stop in your tracks. Find out why she hasn't eaten. Okay, I'm a pretty shy person. 70% of Americans consider themselves shy. I don't normally stop and talk to strangers in the store. But I stopped my cart and I turned to this girl and I said, excuse me, I heard that you haven't eaten in 2 days. Why is that? And she said, well, my brother recently died. I don't have any family. I was in the foster care system. I'm living in this group home with 8 other people. And I just don't have any money right now. And things are just really hard for me. And we started talking in the store. And about midway through our conversation, you know, I heard about her life and how she grew up and how she was left as a little kid. And her parents were had addiction problems and were in prison. And I listened to her story. And as I looked at her, I was overwhelmed with the feeling. And I said, okay, I just have to tell you right now, I don't know where this is coming from. It's not from me. But I looked her in the eyes and I said, you have to promise me something right now. And she goes, what? And I said, promise me you're not going to hurt yourself. And she just started bawling. And she goes, how did you know I was planning to kill myself today? And I said, I didn't know. I'm not speaking for me. I said, maybe it's your brother. Maybe it's Heavenly Father. But you have to promise me. Look me in the eye right now and promise me. And she was just sobbing. And she just hugged me. And she said, I promise you, I'm not going to kill myself. And that moment for me. And then she looked me in the eye and she goes, I know you. I know you. I said, I know you too. And I feel like sometimes Heavenly Father uses us like that if we're willing, where the veil gets thin and we realize you're my brother or my sister. I'm an answer to your prayer or you're an answer to my prayer. And if we listen to those voices and if we don't cave into the fear, we can have those experiences. And I was able to take her by the hand. We talked for an hour. We cried together. I hugged her. We shopped. I bought her food. And I was able to get her Christmas. I've been able to follow her. She's in the Job Corps now, and she's doing pretty well. I mean, it's a constant deal where I keep in contact with her, but I knew I was supposed to be there at that moment, the way everything worked out. And so when you ask, what is my favorite part about the gospel? I'm not a prophet. I'm not a patriarch, but I'm a daughter of God. And just like you're a son of God, we all have the ability to get inspiration. To get promptings. And when we just turn off our pride and humble ourselves and submit to the Lord and trust that whatever we're feeling or whatever we think we need to do or say, to do it, even when it feels awkward to you. And since I've been doing that, my life's literally changed. I can just tell you, I'm the best version of Brandy I've ever been. I feel like I'm a good mom. I'm a good person. And I feel like when I get on my knees at night and I pray, I feel very grateful. I feel very humble that he trusts me to go out and to do his work, but not just to sometimes be the answer, but to have other people be the answer. And I've had so many people come out when I've prayed for a miracle or when I've needed something who showed up.
Well, thank you. Thank you for taking some time and for sharing the things that you shared with us. We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body, and that if you're not healthy enough to listen this week, that you'll be healthy enough to listen next week, and that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. Encourage those who listen to go check it out, gooddeedrevolution.org. Lend your voice or your wallet or your pen or your social media following or whatever you can do to help out the great cause. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the